Next, we're going to report on the activities of the largest United Nations peacekeeping force in the world. The UN has nearly 17,000 troops in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Despite its size, that mission has been unable to stop an upsurge in violence in the eastern part of the country. Fighting between rival militias began there late last year and has driven tens of thousands of civilians from their homes. Now, the UN is struggling to bring stability to this vast country. NPR's Jason Beaubien reports from Bunia, the capital of Ituri province in eastern Congo.
The challenges facing the United Nations in the Congo and the hardships that continue to be endured by the local people are enormous. The UN is attempting to impose a peace on warring militias. It's installing governmental structures in areas that have lacked functioning administrations for years. It's feeding refugees and trying to pave the way for national elections.
When you look back in history and the neglect of this country for so many years, then you cannot expect that it is rectified in 2 weeks' time.
Patrick Kamert is the division commander for the UN forces in eastern Congo. He says the UN has made significant progress here over the last 2 years, but he adds that there are still heavily armed groups fighting for control of Congo's mineral wealth. In Ituri, for instance, there are at least 7 rival militias from rival ethnic groups.
The province of Ituri is one of the richest provinces in the world on minerals, gold, diamonds, cobalt, coltan, etc. And you have all the recipes of a huge problem, which resulted in an enormous amount of atrocities, gang rape, killings, abductions, child soldiers, you name them. It's all in the province of Ituri.
In addition, a UN report released last month documented testimony from people who were abducted by militias. They told of being held as sex slaves and forced to work as laborers. The UN has also suffered vicious attacks. In February, 9 Bangladeshi peacekeepers were ambushed, killed, and mutilated. The UN responded in an uncharacteristically aggressive attack that left 60 militia dead. But despite being the largest UN peacekeeping mission in the world, and despite a mandate from the Security Council that allows the troops to militarily engage the enemy, the peacekeepers haven't been able to magically bring peace to northeast Congo. In January, 22-year-old Didier Gria was driven from his home by rampaging militia fighters. He now lives under a plastic tarp in a chaotic camp with thousands of other refugees on the edge of Lake Albert. Gria is playing a musical instrument he made out of several pieces of fishing twine stretched across an arc of bamboo. Dirty children in rags crowd around to watch him. The tattered huts of his fellow refugees stretch behind him to the waterfront. Gria says he plays his homemade instrument to wash away his sorrows. We were farmers, he says. We lost everything when we were attacked, and we have no way to make money here. He says it's hard just to find enough food for his family. This region of the Congo has been devastated by decades of conflict. Roads have been destroyed, schools have closed or burned down, lush green vegetable plots have grown over with elephant grass. The larger villages in the area used to have electricity, but that was before looters ripped down the copper power lines and sold them for scrap. The local population is looking to the UN not only to enforce a peace, but also to rebuild the country's shattered infrastructure. The peacekeepers, however, aren't all viewed as saints. The mission has been rocked by accusations that troops sexually abused some of the very people they were sent to protect. Bunia is the capital of the Ituri district. It's a dusty, scrappy little town. There are no paved roads, electricity is a sporadic luxury, and nearly everyone is hustling to get by. Market vendors sell used clothes, fruit, dry goods, anything to earn a dollar or two. Kids beg in the streets for 20 francs, the equivalent of 5 cents. In addition to the locals, thousands of destitute peasants who fled into Bunia almost 2 years ago now live in sprawling camps. The refugees have very few opportunities to earn a living, so when some peacekeepers offered a few eggs or bread and jam in exchange for sex, young girls in the camps, some as young as 13, agreed. General Kamert says the UN has taken action against a number of soldiers.
We have a reasonable grip on the situation now. It doesn't mean that you have 100% stamped it out, but I think we have a good grip on the situation. We have implemented a large number of measures, and we should now get on with it and make sure that it won't happen again.
The peacekeepers' main effort now is to disarm the brutal militias. The UN set an April 1st deadline for all combatants in Ituri to lay down their guns. Roughly half the estimated 15,000 fighters in the province complied. General Kumert says those who haven't will be forcibly disarmed by the peacekeepers. As the UN has become more aggressive, aid agencies have attempted to distance themselves from the international body. Across Africa, humanitarian groups and the UN both tend to drive white Toyota 4x4s. But in a sign that the UN is being seen here as one of the combatants in this complex conflict, aid groups recently started repainting their vehicles. Doctors Without Borders painted its Land Cruisers pink. A German development group went with bright green, and Oxfam vehicles are now a glaring shade of orange. At a disarmament center in Bunia, hundreds of former militia members are filling out UN paperwork, which will eventually entitle them to $50 for having handed in a weapon. But in this economically depressed region, most of the former fighters face an uncertain future. Fostan Gandhi, who just left the Front of Nationalists and Integrationists, or FNI, says he has nowhere to go. His house was destroyed, he says, and he's now living in a hut he seized from a Hema family. The FNI is made up of Lendu fighters and has been accused of massacring members of the rival Hema tribe. Gandhi doesn't know what kind of job he'll be able to get once he's finished the disarmament process. Still, the 20-year-old says he's happy the disarmament is taking place. With the weapons, we killed friends, relatives, neighbors, he says. So yes, I'm happy to disarm. After disarmament, the other huge challenge facing the UN is to pave the way for national elections. Despite its name, the Democratic Republic of Congo has never had democratic elections. It didn't have them under the Belgian colonialists. It didn't have them under Mobutu Sese Seko. Rebel leader Laurent Kabila, who ousted Mobutu in 1997, promised elections, but was assassinated before he had to follow through on the pledge. His son Joseph assumed power and is now the president. For the United Nations, elections in the Congo are a crucial part of the peacekeepers' exit strategy. But here, in the northeast of the country, where armed conflict continues to flare up, and many people are struggling just to find shelter and food, there are almost no signs that elections are going to happen soon. Jason Beaubien, NPR News, Bunia, Eastern Congo.